chapter 4. First John chapter 4. And we'll go ahead and pray and then get into the lesson. Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you for your words now. And we pray, Lord, that we would just keep them close to us, Lord, throughout the weeks ahead and our days here on this earth. And we pray, Lord, that we would take heed to them and obey them. And we pray these things for Christ's sake. Amen. Okay, so... last week, we finished 1 John chapter 3, and the last thing that was told to us in 1 John chapter 3 is that you can know that God is in you. 1 John 3:24, the Bible says, "And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him, and hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us." And so that you can know that God is in you. And let me ask, how many of you honestly knew the moment that you trusted in Jesus Christ, the moment that you were saved, that God was in you from that very moment on? I mean, how many of us knew that truth, really? You know? But I didn't. I didn't know God was in me at that very moment. I didn't know the doctrines of the indwelling Christ and all that, those promises that God promised us when the moment that we trusted in him. And for me, it wasn't until later on in life that I started to learn about the wonderful things that Jesus did for me. You just don't know all the things. God saves you, right? But that's about it, and it takes time, and it takes a little bit of you obeying the Word of God and getting in the Word of God and being taught the Word of God, and somebody had to show me the truths that were in the Bible, folks, and it's just how that God's got this thing worked out, and like that Ethiopian eunuch. He didn't even understand what he was reading about salvation. And he had to be shown. And I'm sure some other things were shown to him afterwards as well. But when that stuff was shown to me, when the wonderful truths of the Bible were shown to me, and you want to know who bore witness to that truth? The Holy Spirit did. Because the Holy Spirit was in me. And once that was shown to me, that like... light bulb came on, right? Look, if you would, in Romans 8. Romans 8. Well, some of these things have to be taught to us. We have to learn these things. Romans 8:15. The Bible says, "For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself bear witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children and heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together." Okay, so the Holy Spirit inside you bears witness to these things when you hear about these doctrines, especially the doctrine of the indwelling Christ. And so, why? Because it's the Holy Spirit's job to guide us into all truth. That's the Holy Spirit's job. That's why we were given this. Look, if you would, in John 16:13. Here it is. "Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you in all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come." He will show you things to come. And so, let's be honest here. A lot of things that we know today about God and about his words and about the things he has done for us, for those who've trusted in him, and the things he's going to do for us, that trusted in him. We know because a preacher or a teacher showed us in the Bible, right? We know these things because of that. And guess who provides the preacher? And guess who provides the teacher or evangelist? God does. God provides that. Those are gifts that he gives to men. He gives to men. Look, if you would, in Ephesians. He gives these gifts to men. Ephesians 4:8. The Bible says in Ephesians 4:8, wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is but that he also descended first into lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles, some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors, and some teachers. Why? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come into the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Amen. And so that's why the Lord gives gifts. He gives gifts to men. Why? So we can be Christ-like. Be Christ-like. And so here in the last verse of 1 John chapter 3, we're told about the Spirit, which is inside of us, who will attest to the truths of God. And now we're going to be warned that there are other spirits out there who want to deceive you. They want to deceive you. And so the Lord lays upon each and every one of his children the responsibility to try the spirits. That's our responsibility as children of God. We're to try the spirits. Look, if you would, in John, 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. The Bible says, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they be of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Now, we know all men are a body and soul and spirit. But the way men communicate with other men is through the Spirit. It's through the Spirit. Men have a spirit. And look, if you would, in 1 Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11. For what man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Okay? And so here we see that you know about other things when you communicate with other men, and that's through your spirit. And every man has one. Now, if you are are beloved of God, you have an advantage, right? You have an advantage over someone who is not beloved in that you have already trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what makes you beloved. And not only that, but you've been given the Spirit by God. You've been given His Spirit by God, right? And you're no longer spiritually discerned, as it says in 1 Corinthians here. You're not spiritually discerned in that you can know the things of God because you've received His Spirit, right? And not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit of God, right? Now think about it for a minute here. When you put something on trial, right? When you put something on trial, the Bible says in 1 John, try the spirits, right? 1 John chapter 4. Just read that again here. Make sure I got it right. 1 John chapter 4, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits. When you put something on trial, what essentially are you doing? Right? What are you doing here? You're getting ready, folks, to pronounce a judgment. That's what you're getting ready to do. And when you go to trial, somebody is judging you. Somebody's going to judge you at the end of that trial. And so, you know what the Bible says about a spiritual man? The Bible says a spiritual man judges all things. 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 2. So whenever you hear somebody say, judge not that ye be not judged, right? The Bible says the spiritual man judgeth all things. Now, verse 2, verse 15, but he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. Okay? Why? Because he's judging himself. That's why, folks. And if you're judging yourself, who's going to judge you, really? Who's going to be able to? Nobody. If you judge yourself, you should not be judged, the Bible says, right? Now, and so the spiritual man is said he's to judge all things. And not only that, folks, but the Bible says we're to prove all things and to hold fast to that which is good. And that's found in 1 Thessalonians 5:21. And so we're not to take everything that a man says that comes out of his mouth as it is of God, right? Until you've put it on trial with what? The Bible. And the Word of God. Why? Because there are many false prophets, the Bible says. Many false prophets in the world today. And so how are we to try the spirits? Acts, if you go to Acts 17:11, you get some examples here. Acts 17:11. And we all know about the Bereans here, but this is what they did. The Bible says in Acts 17:11, we'll start off in verse 10, and the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews. These, talking about the Bereans, were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, right? And searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. And so when somebody was speaking out, the Word of God, or what they thought might have been the Word of God, they received the words. They received them. They were ready to receive those words. But they searched the Bible, folks. They searched the Scriptures daily, whether those things were so. They put those man's words on trial with the Word of God. And so a noble person doesn't just shrug his shoulder at a person because they don't like the way he sounds. They don't just say, we don't care for that guy too much, so we're not going to listen to him, right? A noble person receives what that person is, especially if it's instruction. Now, folks, there's everyday talk, right? There's everyday talk where you just hear people rambling on about nothing, right? And we all do it. But when somebody is starting to give you instructions and trying to teach you about something, we're to have a readiness of mind to receive, right? And try what that person's saying by the Word of God. But a noble person will hear what's being said no matter who is saying it. And he'll receive it with a readiness of mind and search the Scriptures daily, whether those things are so. And that's how we learn. That's our responsibility as children of God. It's our responsibility to search that Scripture, to make sure what's being said to us is right according to the Bible. And so, and they'll hold to those things which are so, and a noble person will just say, okay, well, that didn't match up with the Bible, but this did. This did. And you take, the pastor got to take the good, leave the bad, right? Pastor, I think he said that one time. You take the good and you leave the bad. And you hold to the things that are good and you sometimes run from the things that are bad, right? And the fact is that you really don't know who is a false prophet And who is not a false prophet until words start to come out of that person's mouth? You just don't know, folks. You can't tell by looking at them, right? Anybody can dress up in a suit and tie. That doesn't make them a child of God. That doesn't make them a prophet of God or a preacher of righteousness or a teacher of righteousness. It doesn't make them that. And you got to wait. Wait a little bit. And things will start to pour out. They come out of the mouth. The things that come out of a man is what defileth a man. You'll know by what things comes out of a person's mouth who they are. You'll know about who they are. And even until they start talking, right? A person could talk for hours and hours about different things of the Bible. But until they start to talk about Jesus, you really can't pin it down. Until you start to know what they think about Jesus Christ. You can't pin it down. We all make mistakes about interpretations of the scriptures, folks. Does that mean that we're all false prophets? No. But when you start talking about Jesus Christ and him crucified, you better have this thing down. And those that do, you'll know. And those that don't, you'll know. You'll know by what comes out of their mouth about Jesus Christ. And a lot of things that save, and the point is here, a lot of things that save people say, they don't line up with what the Bible says. Why? Maybe they're self-deceived and haven't tried the spirits properly, or maybe the person's lazy. But that doesn't make them not saved. And we have to understand that. And that doesn't make them a false prophet. A false prophet. When the Bible talks about a false prophet, it's in the context of about not understanding about what Jesus Christ, who Jesus Christ is, and they're not a child of God. That's a false prophet. That's what the Bible's talking about here. Okay, in 1 John. But there are many people in the world that claim to be Christians. They do. And they claim to be one of God's children. But in reality, if you believed everyone that you came across that said they were a Christian just because they said that, you realize how many tracts you would need to hand out? Not too many. Not too many, because everybody thinks that they're a Christian. They do. But we know that there are false prophets, many false prophets out in the world today. And you know what that means, folks? These many false prophets that are out there in the world are persuading many that there is another way to heaven. There's that they can be a Christian and not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and that he was God. Manifest in the flesh, right? And that's simply not the case, folks. That's not the case. The Bible says the only way to know for sure that somebody is a child of God or not is to try the words that come out of their mouth about the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what the Bible teaches here. 1 John chapter 4. Verse 2, the Bible says, Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. That's what the Bible says, folks. Every spirit. Do you realize that the job of an ease, what do you realize what the job of an evil spirit is? It's to take a little bit of truth, right? And twist it enough to deceive you and deceive me, especially those that are Christians. It's easy to deceive somebody that doesn't have any discernment, especially spiritual discernment. But It's a little bit harder when it comes to somebody that does have spiritual discernment. That's why we have to try the spirits and to compare spiritual things with spiritual things. That's our job as Christians. Because, a devil, an unclean spirit, can deceive a Christian. And it's not too hard to do. Here's an example. Look, if you would, in 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 7. Somebody that doesn't have any learning, it just got saved. Real easy. Real easy to deceive. And that's why you have the false prophets and the wolves in sheep's clothing, and they're out there sniffing out the young ones, the young sheep, because they're easy. That's why, hey, when I go hunting, folks, I don't target the older deer. I don't. Now, if one comes my way, shame on that, right? Because it's a little bit bigger than the younger ones, but the younger ones are stupid. And they haven't learned to use their noses properly. But man, I'll tell you one time. I'm out on opening day of shotgun. I'm using a bow. And I see these three deer, and they're running together. And they're all older deer. And they're running together. And one's got his head up here. The other nose up there. The other one's got his nose here. And the other one's going like this. And they're running through the woods like that, like a three-headed monster. And I'm like, well, I'm not getting any of them. And I didn't. They sniffed me right out. But that's a job of a wolf, and that's a job of a predator. And a young convert doesn't know too much. They're not wise enough to understand this. Could be easily deceived. 1 Corinthians, 7? 7, verse 32. Let's see if that's it. The Bible says, but I would have you without carefulness. He that is unmarried careth for the things that belong to the Lord, how he may please the Lord. But he that is married careth for the things that are of the world, how he may please his wife. And so here's an example of how an unclean spirit could twist this verse, these passages of scriptures. And they'll come up and they'll put a little idea in your head. Well, a single man can devote more time to Jesus Christ than a married man. Is this not the truth? This is the truth, folks. A single person can, right? And an evil spirit will come and say, well, if you get married, you're not going to be as holy as the unmarried person. Because you can't spend that much time with the Lord. So you're not going to be as holy as an unsaved or as a unmarried man. And the only way you're going to be able to be as holy as that unmarried man is if you abstain from getting married. You have to be like him. This is a doctrine of a devil, folks. That's a doctrine of a devil, because that's not what the Bible teaches. It's not what the Bible teaches. Again, is not a Christian supposed to take care of his body? Of his or her body, and take care of it. I mean, eat the right things, right? Don't eat things that are bad for you. You know what's bad for you, right? But you know what an evil spirit will come and say? He'll say, well, if you eat pork, that's an unclean animal in the Bible. And you're not taking care of your body, and so you know what that means? You're not holy. And you know what you now have? Go with me, if you would, to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy 4, verse 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, and commanding to abstain from meats, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. So see, you can't know the truth unless you try those words and those spirits. You can't know it. And that's our job. And when someone starts to talk about spiritual things and about religious things, we are to try those words of those that do this with the words of God. Why? To see if they line up to what the Bible actually teaches. Because the little twist here and a little twist there, and all of a sudden you got people, Christians, believing that they can't be holy if they eat certain meats, and they can't be holy if they get married. And that's simply not what the Bible teaches. You know why you're holy? Because you trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ. If you want to know how you're going to be holy, that's how you're going to be holy. Not because of anything that you're going to do. And so if they don't line up, you discard that. Discard it as an error. As an error. And not, you don't receive it as truth, because it's just not true what they're teaching there. That's a, we just seen. Forbidding to marry and forbidding to eat meats is a doctrine of a devil. And that's how those devils work. They twist and they turn a little here or twist a little there or subtract a little or add a little and make it say whatever they want. Now, it's not a good thing if a Christian is deceived in these matters, folks. But there are a lot of Christians that are deceived. Why? Because there are many false prophets out there. And you can expect a lot of deceived Christians in the world as you come across them and talk to them. Especially if they've not been taught that they have a responsibility. And that responsibility is to try the spirits whether they be of God. And so before you sit under the teaching of any man, you should find out what he believes about the Lord Jesus Christ. That should be number one, folks. We should find out what they believe. If somebody is trying to teach you something about the Bible, what do you think about Christ? Pastor's got a great track on what think ye of Christ, right? That's a great question to ask. What do you think about Jesus Christ? Whose son is he, right? And so same thing if you got, that's out in the world. If you come across somebody who's trying to teach you something about the Bible, you hear it all the time. Your Jehovah's Witnesses come to the door. You've got the Church of Christ and Latter-day Saints, all that stuff. They come to the door, they leave their tracks around, right? And what questions are we asking? Are we talking about Jesus when they show up to the door? They don't want to talk about Jesus, right? They don't want to talk about him. And if a man doesn't confess that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh, he's not of God. And that's the distinguishing factor between a saved person and an unsaved person. Now, what is the definition of is? That's, you know, remember Bill Clinton? He's in trial. He's on going through hearings for impeachment. And they ask him a question, and the is shows up. He goes, well, that depends on what the definition of is, right? Look, if you would, in Matthew 17. And we're going to see what the definition of is. Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. The definition, Bible definition here, the Bible interpretation of this, Matthew 17. Verses 12. Is it 12? Yeah. And Jesus answered and said unto them, Elias truly shall first come and restore all things. But I say unto you, that's Jesus said unto them, that Elias is come already. Right? And they knew him not. But have done unto him whatsoever they listed. Likewise shall also the Son of Man suffer of them. Right? Elias is dead. And the Bible says, is come already. So, to me, it looks like is can be past tense. Just like has. Right? That's the way it's used in this context. It's used in the past tense. In the past tense, is used that way. And likewise, right? The state Jesus is come already. Has he not? We all know he did. He was crucified on the cross. He's come already. And it's in the past tense, right? And so, but they knew him not, but have done unto him whatsoever they listed. And likewise, folks, evil spirits will say a lot of nice things. They'll say a lot of nice things, right? They do. They say a lot of nice things about Jesus Christ. They will call him the Holy One of God. They do. Mark 1:23, 24. Luke 4:33, 34. They call him the Holy One of God. Evil spirits will make all kinds of confessions about Jesus Christ. They'll call him the Son of the Most High God. The Son of the Most High God. Mark 5:7. But what an evil spirit won't do is he won't confess that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. And so what doctrine is attacked in all the new Bibles, right? The doctrine of the incarnate Christ, the incarnation of Jesus Christ. And that's intact in all the new Bibles. That's why they remove begotten from John 1:14. They remove that. Why? Because the begetting in John 1:14 is made in the flesh. That was Jesus Christ. He was made in the flesh. And so they attack it. They attack it. All the new Bibles do. Not only that, but they attack John 3:13 and take out which is in heaven. Why? Look if you would. John 3:13. John 3:13. We're almost done here. I'll give you guys an early break. John 3:13. And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. You know why they take which is in heaven? They take it out because Jesus Christ is on earth here, and he's claiming to be in heaven at the same time. That's God. That's God. Jesus Christ is God. And he's God manifest in the flesh. He's God manifest in the flesh. And he was God in front of Nicodemus while he was talking to him, as well as God in heaven at the same exact time. And they don't want you to know that. An unclean spirit doesn't want you to believe in the incarnation of Jesus Christ, that he was God manifest in the flesh. Why? Because they don't want you to know that the only way for God to condemn sin was for him to become flesh and condemn it in the flesh, folks. Look, if you would, in Romans 8. Romans 8. That's the only way God can forgive sins. Romans 8, 3. The Bible says, "For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemn sin in the flesh." And if God never came in the flesh, guess what? We're all sinners going to hell. And if Jesus Christ was just a man, guess what? We're all in trouble and we're without hope. And we're without God in this world today. And we'll go ahead and stop there. And that's not the case, folks. Jesus Christ did come. He did die. He died on the cross. He was God manifest in the flesh, and he died for our sins. And thankful for that. And I'm thankful for that. I hope you are too. We'll go ahead and pray. Huh? Oh, and he rose again the third day. Exactly. Yep. Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you for that wonderful truth, the incarnation of Jesus Christ, how he was God manifest in the flesh, justified in his spirit. And we're so thankful for that truth, Lord. And we pray that we would try the spirits, whether they be of God. And if they don't have the right confession, Lord, then we know that they're not of you. They're not from you. And we pray that we would do our due diligence to do these things and find out who's saved, who's not saved, and give them the gospel and show them the truth. There are a lot of deceived people out there, Lord, and There's a lot of false prophets deceiving people, and we need to stand in the midst of them and give them the truth, and we pray that we would do so for Christ's sake. Amen.